rest.
I don't know about y'all. I just got to thinking about who, where, what I would be but for him. I got a pretty good list. But for God, I'm probably divorced. Not for him. If it hadn't been for him, I'm probably an addict. Not for him, I could be a lot of things. But God made a difference, made a change, continually makes a difference. Because I still need him every day. Every day. Amen. Amen. Couple things I forgot to mention in announcements. One is, if we have anyone that would be interested, willing, available to volunteer in the nursery for the next few weeks, the Rebus have to go on vacation. And the Lauks. If you know your pastor, you know my heart is always, you got to have a break. You got to have vacation. You got to have time off. The Sabbath is there for a reason, and the Sabbath is the thing, as I spoke to friends about recently, I'm terrible at it. I mean, I'm terrible at taking a Sabbath. So every once in a while, your pastor's going to be gone. I encourage my families every once in a while, you know, not for a month, right? That's a little extreme, but for a Sunday, couple of Sundays. It's summertime, it's vacation time. You know, it's the best time for most of us who have families to take off and go enjoy being a family. So they're going to go do that for the next couple of weeks. So we need nursery volunteers if anybody is available, okay? If that's your calling. You know, that's not your pastor's calling to be in the nursery. I'm just going to tell you right now. Just freely admit, that's not me. But if that's you, we could use your help for the next few weeks. So talk to Sister Tammy or myself after church during the week, whenever. And then also, some of you haven't had the real privilege of getting to know Victoria and Corbin yet. But they've been with us for a little while now. And if you looked at the back of the station, you wouldn't recognize it. Because they have begun to rebuild that wall and to get it fixed so that the wall no longer leaks water inside. So they have, yeah. Man, it already looks awesome and it's not even done yet. So just wanted to let you all know something was happening and to tell them thank you from the bottom of my heart, because they're doing a great job, and it's going to be awesome, and we're almost done over there. And I will... y'all don't even know how many hours, some of y'all know, have been put in over there, and sweat, and had a little bit of blood every once in a while, not too much, praise Jesus. But it's been a lot of work, but it's great. It's almost done. To a point that we're going to stop on it for a while, but they volunteered, said, hey, we really want to do this. I said, hey, I really want you to, so it just worked out great. So that's what's happening over at the station. Amen. So, right now, man, I feel like I've known Adam way longer than I think I actually have, but we've been friends. I think we're friends. We friends? Okay, we're friends. Yeah. Praise Jesus. See, I do have friends. we have been friends for several years now. Miss Bethany, which I'm going to step out in faith. because I'm pretty sure they have missionary kids, and Miss Bethany was a missionary kid, right? Yes. So she's been involved in missions pretty much her whole life, right? That's pretty cool. I think that's amazing. She has basically, either by choice or by force, been working for the Lord her whole life, you know? So I am excited that they are here. They are trying to reach Spain, and they are here today to present to us what God has called them to do, what they are doing currently, what they want to do in the future with our help as the church. And first, I believe there's a video that we're going to show. So if you will, Sister Tammy, start that video. Technology.
Spain. It's a beautiful country with an abundance of sunshine, thousands of years of history, and over 49 million people who love to have fun. Spaniards are no strangers to the gospel, but many are struggling and looking for something they're not finding. They are culturally and historically Catholic. Most would claim Catholicism, but in the same sentence say they do not believe. Due to the political role and conflicting views within the church, Spaniards have abandoned any faith they may have once had. Most Spaniards are atheists or agnostic in their belief and have become extremely secular over the past century. They have drifted so far away from God, they don't even consider faith in God as an option for their lives. Tragically, less than 1% of Spaniards identify as being born-again evangelical Christians. And if the rapture were to happen today, most Spaniards wouldn't even notice. This is where Adam and Bethany Weatherly will help make a difference. If the Lord wills, they will return to Spain to work with Global University. There, they will reach the lost through sharing the gospel in Spain and around Europe. They will train the found by teaching and equipping the next generation of church leaders and church workers so they can effectively share the gospel with their own people in their own language and cultural contexts. And finally, the Weatherlys will help create resources for evangelism, discipleship, and church growth. You can help impact Spaniards with the gospel through praying for the Weatherlys as they raise funds to return to Spain, and by becoming a ministry partner who gives monthly to help sustain their ministry efforts. For more information about the Weatherlys, their ministry, and how you can be involved, please visit showingtheworld.com and follow along on social media.
And thank you so much. The first way is we have prayer cards. Back here in the foyer as you came in this morning, there's a table set up. We have some prayer cards on that table. We ask that you take one of these and put it either in your Bible or on your refrigerator, whichever one you open up most, because that's where we want to be. So each time you see this prayer card, you can remember to pray for us. The second way you can remember to pray for us is to simply remember your ABCs. Because if you can remember your ABCs, then you can remember to pray for Adam, Bethany, Caleb, and Samuel Weatherly. And then finally, how many of you are on Facebook? Everybody just about, right? So right now, go ahead and get out your phones, go to Facebook app, and go in the search bar, type in Showing the World. And follow us on our Facebook page. And for those of you who are on Instagram, it's Showing the World Jesus. And so we encourage you to follow along with what we're doing in Spain. So, Pastor, before I forget, thank you so much for allowing us to come today. I know that with it being a holiday weekend, not every pastor is willing to have a missionary come. Just letting you know, your pastor has a heart and a passion and a vision for Stillwater, Oklahoma. You guys have a great pastor. Thank you so much for having us this morning. So Bethany and I, we hit the field for the first time in 2017. And while we were there, we served at the International Media Ministries in Madrid, Spain, where we helped develop the Heritage Project. And the Heritage Project is a series of 8 short docudrama-style films similar to what you would see on the History Channel. And they're specifically geared towards North Africa. And the reason for that is there's actually a 3-pronged reason for that. The first is that North Africa, there's a lie that's being spread that North Africa has always been and always will be Muslim. We know that this is a lie from the pit of hell because when we look at the early church from the 1st through the 5th centuries, we see that some of the most prolific theologians and church leaders came from North Africa. So we're sharing these stories to tell about their rich Christian heritage and to have a creative way of sharing the gospel in North Africa where missionaries, we simply can't go. But while we were there the first time, we noticed how lost Spain was. In fact, we went to a meeting with our area director, Joe, and he said, he posed the question, if the rapture were to happen today, would Spaniards even notice? This is about the time that God started breaking our hearts to reach Spaniards. You see, Spaniard is so incredibly far away from God that if the rapture were to happen today, Spaniards wouldn't even notice. Less than 1% of Spain is born again evangelical Christian. We also begin to notice that as we were just simply living our daily lives, that Bethany and I were some of the few authentic Christians that Spaniards were coming in contact with simply as we were going to the grocery store. It's incredibly sad. And if the rapture were to happen today, not only would they not notice, but it wouldn't even affect their local economy. Is it like that here? I don't know. You guys have the campus over here. It might be close. But you see, that's about the time as we were praying on the next steps in ministry that God opened the door for us to go to Global University. We have a satellite office there in Madrid, Spain, and over 47 hub sites around the country where we have 3 main purposes. And that is, first of all, to reach the lost. By whatever means possible, we want to go and be a part of reaching the lost and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere we go around Spain. The second thing we're there to do is to train the found. And what I mean by that is through the university, there are 4 different levels of discipleship. There's the school of evangelism and discipleship. There's the school of Berean School of Ministry. Then there's an undergraduate program and a graduate program. We're going to be helping with those lower 2 rungs so that way we can influence people and train up the next generation of church leaders and workers who God has called to reach their own people. And then finally, the third thing we're there to do is to create resources specifically for evangelism, discipleship, and church growth. Now, as we get started today, I want to dig into the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 12 through 20. That's the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 12 through 20. And as we get started today, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that we have the freedom to gather together and worship your holy name. Lord, we pray that as we continue to go forward with this message, that you would open our hearts, our minds, and all of our doors as to what your word has to say to us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. So if this message had a title, or what I've decided to title this, is being part of the solution. You see, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 12 through 20, this picks up right after the resurrection. You see, there were 3 women who went to the tomb. They found the tomb to be empty. And when they went back to tell the other disciples, they completely forgot oh, they didn't forget about God. I'm getting way ahead of myself. So I've changed stuff up, and my wife's eyes are back there about this big, just so you know. So they go, they find the tomb to be empty. They go back and tell the other disciples, but the disciples did not believe them. And that's where we're picking up in verse 12. It says this, "After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them." Now, this one verse is actually told in story format in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. It's known as the Road to Emmaus. You see, there were two disciples that after everything that had gone on Easter Sunday morning, after the tomb was found to be empty, there were two disciples who they decided to walk from a small town or to a small town of Emmaus. It's about a 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And on their way there, they were talking about everything that had gone on over the weekend. And all of a sudden, there was another man who came up and walked up on them and started asking them questions about what they were talking about. And so they started to share everything that had happened to Jesus over that weekend. And I can imagine, you know, 7 miles, I don't know about you guys, but that would take me quite a while to walk. And I would probably be a little bit hungry by the time I got there. And so they invited this man to sit down and eat a meal with them. And as they were eating, the man took a piece of bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave each one of these two disciples a piece. And immediately their eyes were opened as to who this man truly was. It was Jesus who had come to appear to them. I can see the excitement all over these two disciples' faces as they got so excited, they jumped up from the table, they ran out of the door, leaving behind all of their belongings. They ran the 7 miles back to Jerusalem and burst through the doors where the other disciples were, saying, "He's alive! He's alive! Jesus is alive!" Just to hear the other disciples say, "Cleopas, new guy, it was just a figment of your imagination. You are just as crazy as those three women who found the tomb to be empty. It didn't happen." Now, just for a moment, put yourself in the disciples' shoes who stayed back in Jerusalem. After all, they were there. Some of them were there when Jesus was arrested. They were there as he was put on trial and found to be guilty because of the lies of the Pharisees. They were there and witnessed as Jesus was brutally beaten and tortured. And they were there as they watched those spikes go through Jesus' hands and through his feet when he was hung on the cross. Some of them were standing so close that they could have heard the gurgling sounds of fluid filling Jesus' lungs as he suffocated to death. They were there when Nicodemus and a few others took Jesus' body off of the cross to quickly place it in the grave so that way the Jews could have their Passover. No wonder these disciples didn't believe what the two disciples and the three women had told them. You see, they forgot something though, something really important. And that is, they forgot what Jesus told them was going to happen. Now, I don't know about you, but I forget things all the time. You can ask my wife. I mean, this sermon evidently is obvious this morning. I'm getting ahead of myself on some of these things. You can ask my wife. I forget things all the time. When it comes to our faith, every last one of us, myself included, we forget important parts. We'll come to church on a Sunday morning and we'll hear a great life-changing message. But by Monday morning, we can't even remember the main point. We're not alone in this. When we look back at the Old Testament, we can look at the Israelites. God so miraculously saved them from Egypt. He brought them into the wilderness where he miraculously provided for them. I mean, he provided the quail, the manna from heaven. He had Moses hit the rock and water came out, and that's how they were taken care of. But you see, when Moses was gone just for a little while, they completely forgot about who God was. You see, I find this story really interesting because when you go back and look at this account in the Old Testament, we read that it says that when God called Moses up on the mountain, that all of Israel was standing with Moses at the base of Mount Sinai. That means that they saw the glory of the Lord fall on top of the mountain in the form of the clouds and the lightning. They heard the thunder of God. And when God said, Moses, come up here, chances are they heard God's voice as well. But they still forgot about God. Fast forward a few decades. God told them, it is time to take the promised land I am giving you. But what did they do instead? They sent out the 12 spies. The 12 spies go out, they survey the land and come back, and they said, oh, what is out there is, oh, it's better than what we were promised, let me tell you. But there's some fortified walls and there are giants in the land that we just do not want to deal with. You see, once again, they didn't believe that God would do what he promised them and said he was going to do. I often think about how crazy they had to have been to have God right there with them and still forget about God. And yet in our own lives today, we do the same thing. You see, miraculous things, they happen around us all the time. God is constantly working in us and through us and around us. But from time to time, myself included on this, we get to be kind of entitled. And we forget that it's God that is moving on our behalf. You see, for the people of Europe, they are no strangers to the gospel. But because of the corruption and the hypocrisy within the Catholic Church, they have forgotten all about God. In fact, most Europeans claim to be atheists or agnostic in belief, and they want nothing to do with God. Where we live at in Spain, it is culturally and historically Catholic. But because of all the junk that happened from World War II up to the present time, secularism has become their new religion. And what secularism is where a person will say, me, myself, and I comes first before anything and everything else. And to a Spaniard, they have no time for God in their life. So much so that less than 1% of Spaniards are born again evangelical Christians. This is why God is sending us back to work with Global University. Verse 14 says, afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. So now, because of their hard hearts, because of their unbelief, Jesus had to come and appear to the 12 disciples themselves. You see, it was extremely important for them to understand what it was like to hear the eyewitness testimony of somebody who had seen Jesus, especially because of what Jesus was about to call them to do next. You see, Jesus was about to call them to be a part of the solution in sharing the gospel. After all, that's what Jesus was training the 12 disciples to do the entire 3.5 years that they were with him. Was to be a part of the solution. This is why we're going back to Global University. It's to train. We'll be helping to train some of the few Christians in Spain who are there to reach their own people in their own language and in their own cultural context. We're also going to help reach the lost by sending the curriculum from Global University into prisons and gypsy camps so they have the opportunity to hear the gospel. That's why we're going back, is to train people, to disciple people, so that way they then can become part of the solution in sharing the gospel. We'll be doing this not only just in Spain and the 47 hub sites around Spain, but we'll be doing this throughout Europe as well. We'll be helping to teach that Jesus is working in them. and through them and around them, just like what Jesus was teaching the disciples. In verse 15, Jesus said, "Go into all of the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." So now Jesus is basically saying, okay, you guys, now you've seen me. Now you are my eyewitnesses to the resurrection. Now it is time to get busy and go to work. You see, the Gospel of Mark, it is known as the Gospel of Action. And the disciples are now commissioned to go into every part of the world to preach the good news. But what exactly does that mean, to preach the good news? You see, they're supposed to preach about the life and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're supposed to tell people about the salvation that only Jesus can bring. And they're supposed to teach people about what Jesus taught, so that way they then can become part of the solution. Just take a look at the book of Acts through the rest of the New Testament. These are perfect examples for us about how the disciples went out to become part of the solution. This is a perfect example for us to read and learn from what they did so we can apply that today to what God is calling all of us to do, to share the gospel. You see, we are all called to be a part of the solution. As followers of Christ, we're part of this mandate that's called the Great Commission. And it's our job to go into every part of the world to make disciples. Now, part of making disciples, this is actually a two-part process, believe it or not. You see, there's one part that is evangelism. That is the purposeful sharing of the gospel with the intent on reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. On the other hand, there's the discipleship part, or the teaching part, where we go out and teach people what Jesus taught. You see, these two things, they go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. Without discipleship, there would be nobody to be trained in the ways of Jesus to be sent out to evangelize. And without evangelism, there would be nobody to be brought back into the church to be trained in the ways of the gospel. These two things go hand in hand. So after commissioning the disciples to go, Jesus encouraged them by telling them about some of the things that were going to happen for those who believe. Verse 17 says, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." Now skip down to verse 20. "And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs." You see, all of the signs that we mentioned there, we can read about in the New Testament, or we can read about them when we study the early church from the first through the fifth centuries. You see, we see that some of these signs are what we know as proactive signs, and that's simply where the disciples and early believers took a step of faith to do what God had called them to do, and when they did, miracles, signs, and wonders happened around them. Other things happened to disciples and early church believers that were just absolutely horrific, torturous things. We call these next set reactive signs. Some of the disciples, especially in the early church, like I said, they had some horrific things done to them. Some of them were thrown into snake pits with venomous snakes. And when they were bit, not a single thing happened to them. Others were literally forced to drink deadly poison. And once again, when they did, not a single thing happened. Both of the proactive and the reactive signs happened to authenticate the faith of early believers and to prove that Jesus Christ is who he says he is and that he is worth following today. You see, in modern day times, There are a lot of people out there that say that miracles, signs, and wonders, those don't happen anymore. That was for them way back then. But friends, let me tell you, miracles, signs, and wonders, they happen today. I would not be here if it wasn't for God working miracles in my life. But that's a message and a sermon for another time. You see, the Bible teaches us that each time a single person says yes to Jesus, the angels in heaven see that as a great and mighty miracle of God, and they throw a ginormous party in heaven. I don't know about you, but they threw that party for me almost 20 years ago now. And they got to throw that party for a man named Kike. Kike was born and raised in northern Spain, and by the time he turned 16 years old, he had gotten himself in so much trouble with the law that he was arrested, he was tried, and thrown in prison. And with the way that the Spanish judicial system works, they threw away the key. There was no light at the end of Kike's tunnel. So Kike was sitting in prison, and one day there was a ministry called Raymar that came in. And Raymar is really similar to our Teen Challenge. And they started holding crusades and Bible studies in the prison system where he was at. And one day he felt this weird sensation, feeling that he couldn't explain. And all he knew was he was supposed to go and live with the men at Raymar. And so Kike went to the warden. The warden took Kike to the judge. And the judge said, "Kike, I will allow you to go and live with these men at Raymar under two conditions. The first is you have to follow every single last rule that they set up for you, no questions asked. And the second, he just had to follow through with parole." Let me tell you, it took him about half a second to say yes to that deal, right? So that day, Kike went to live at Raymar with those men. And while he was there, they started to do what I call pre-discipleship. They started showing him what it was like to be a Christian. They started teaching him God's word and everything that goes about with a Christian life. And one day, Kike felt in his heart that it was time, and he said yes to Jesus Christ being his Lord, his God, and his Savior. The angels in heaven threw that great and mighty party for Kike. But you know what? God wasn't done with Kike there. One day in his quiet time, as Kike was learning to hear the voice of God and studying about the Holy Spirit, the Lord spoke to him and said, "Kike, I want you to start a feeding ministry." And Kike said, "Lord, for you, I will do anything." And he started a feeding ministry. It didn't take long for that feeding ministry to really take off. It started growing so fast that Kike had to develop his own leadership team. And that's what he did. And then one day, he realized, this is a captive audience. We need to be sharing the gospel with them. And so he started a Bible study during the food, while they gave away food. Then one day, in his quiet time, now he knew what it was to hear the voice of God. And God said, "Kike, I want you to step down from the feeding ministry. And instead, I want you to earn your ministerial credentials." Once again, Kike said, "Lord, for you, I will do anything. But I have no clue what you're talking about." And so Kike stepped down from the feeding ministry. And that's when he was introduced to Global University in Spain. It was there that he started at the lowest level, the School of Evangelism and Discipleship, where he learned everything that he needed to know about living a true, authentic Christian life. When he graduated from those courses, he began the Berean School of Ministry, where he was trained in God's Word and in ministry. And by the time that he graduated from the Berean School of Ministry, he had also earned his Spanish ministerial credentials from the Assemblies of God in Spain. And then one day, now Kike knew what it was to hear the voice of God. And God said, "Kike, remember that Bible study that you started? I want you to go back. This is now your church. Today, Kike is the pastor of a growing and thriving church who is doing whatever they possibly can to win souls for Jesus Christ, so that way those angels in heaven can throw that party as often as possible. Amen. Miracles do happen. Now, remember that feeding ministry? Over 3,000 people go through that feeding ministry every single week. God is moving through Kike and the ministry that he called him to do. See, when we look at the New Testament, we read about how the disciples, they went out into the entire world. Some stayed in Jerusalem, some went into Europe, others went to Asia, but still others went to the furthest known parts of the world at that time. And when they performed miracle signs and wonders in Jesus' name, people were saved. We see that some of the disciples, they had extremely effective one-on-one ministries, meaning simply as they were living their daily lives, as they were going to school, as they were going to the grocery store, as they were at work with their coworkers, they were sharing the gospel one-on-one with people and leading people to Jesus Christ. Others, like the Apostle Peter, we can read in the book of Acts, the very first time that he preached was in Jerusalem, and 3,000 people came to know Jesus Christ in that one message. You see, today as followers of Christ, we're commissioned to do the same exact things that Jesus did, or that not that Jesus did, that the disciples did today. In fact, Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, was so that way today we can continue being his witnesses and continue doing the work that was started over 2,000 years ago. And we're supposed to start in our own Jerusalem. For you guys, that's right here in Stillwater, Oklahoma. But you're not supposed to stop there. You're supposed to keep going and step out into Judea, which would be the rest of Oklahoma, and then Samaria, which would be the rest of the United States. And our job is not done until we are able to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to every last living man, woman, and child on earth. Now, how exactly are we supposed to do that today? I mean, I get it. We all have families. We all have jobs. We all have responsibilities in life. And then this last year, we were thrown this curveball that we know is COVID-19 or the pandemic. But you see, even through all of that, we are still supposed to be part of the solution in sharing the gospel. When we look at the New Testament, we see three main ways that the disciples invested in the kingdom of heaven, that they invested in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first way is through prayer. You see, we read that the disciples, they didn't do much of anything without praying about it first. They wanted to know that they knew that they know what Jesus wanted them to do, and that God was with them as they went to go do it. You see, today, every last one of us here in this room, we are called to be men and women of prayer. Do you know who the first person here in Stillwater, Oklahoma, you need to pray for is? He's sitting right here. Your pastor, Pastor Seth. You see, I know, Pastor, I love your pastor. He's bivocational. That means his job is even harder, by the way. I've been there. I've been in your shoes doing that. You see, he cannot reach the city of Stillwater by himself. He cannot fulfill the calling that God has put on his life by himself as a pastor. He needs the Holy Spirit flowing through his heart and through his mind in every aspect of his being. And part of that happens when we are able to intercede on his behalf with God. The second set of people we need to be praying for are those who are lost here in the community and around the world, that the gospel of Jesus Christ will be able to be shared with them in such a way that they will respond and say yes to Jesus. And finally, as missionaries, we ask that you pray for us. Because when we go through things on the missions field, difficult things, we can physically feel your prayers, and it's a great encouragement to us. And we cannot thank you enough for your prayers. That's the first way the disciples invested. The second way the disciples invested is with finances, financial giving. You see, today that looks like with our tithes and our offerings. Traditionally, tithes are 10% of everything that we earn comes to our local assembly. Now, whether that's before or after taxes, that's between you and God. But 10% comes to the church, and that's what helps to keep the church doors open. That's what makes sure that you have a nice facility that you can come and worship God in, and that it's a bouncing board to win souls to Jesus Christ around your community. Then on top of our tithes, we have offerings. In the Assemblies of God, we call offerings a lot of times a faith promise, where we say, as God enables me, I promise to give $50 a month to ensure that the gospel of Jesus Christ is being spread all around the world. Now, that $50 a month, that's just an arbitrary number I threw out. Your offerings are between you and God. Nobody can tell you how much to give or what you should give. But let me tell you this. If God's telling you to give from an offering, you cannot outgive God. Just saying. So that's the second way, is to invest financially. And finally, the third way is to invest in going. See, the disciples, they went all around the known world at that point in time to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to anybody who would listen. For today, God's calling us all to do the same thing. Some of us, that looks like evangelism one-on-one. We go to work, we go to the grocery store, and we share the gospel with the people that we're around. Other people in this room, maybe God is calling you to a preaching ministry where you'll get to preach in front of crowds of thousands to win souls to Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you, God is working on your heart about short-term missions. And maybe you can travel somewhere else outside of Oklahoma, somewhere else around the world to help a missionary in what they're doing to share the gospel. By the way, Pastor Seth, you guys need to come. We have plenty of work in Spain to do. Yes, sir. I'll tell you about the food later. And still yet, there may be others in this room who God is calling and working on your life, whether it's as a pastor, whether it's as a missionary. God's calling you to do something that's going to be full-time vocational. For some reason, what's your name? Sarah. Sarah, while you were up here earlier, I debated on whether or not I need to do this because time is almost up. God has a call for you. Okay? Do you already know what that call is? No? Okay. I'm not telling you what it is because I don't know. But here's what I feel God was saying earlier. And that is, you are holding yourself back for some reason. You're holding yourself back. You need to let go of yourself. Let God take control. Start seeking the Holy Spirit, and he's going to take you to that next level. I could hear it in your voice up here. You have like an Aretha Franklin inside of you that's you're holding back. All right? I could hear it in your voice as you were singing. God is doing something in your life. Let him take control and move forward. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You see, every single last one of us here are called to be a part of the solution in sharing the gospel. You see, Pastor and I, we don't do this for the money. We don't do this for fame, honor, glory, all that kind of stuff. We do what we do because of what Jesus Christ first did for us. And now, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While on our own, we were on the road heading somewhere where we did not want to go. And then Jesus happened. He got a hold of our lives. He came to this world. He died for us. So that way, those who believe could spend eternity in heaven with him. He helps us to do a U-turn in life. And instead of going straight to hell, which is what we deserve, he says, I love you, and wipes all of our sins as white as snow. He throws them as far as the east is from the west, and he says, I love you, and I want you to be with me in eternity. That's why Pastor and I do what we do. That's why we need to be part of the solution. Because without Jesus, people are going somewhere they do not want to go. Amen. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you haven't said yes to Jesus yet. And you feel that weird tug at your heart. And today, you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord God and Savior of your life. Just simply lift your hand and slide it back down. If that's you today, and you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord God and Savior of your life, just raise your hand. Okay. So nobody's lifted their hands. And that's okay. Because God is moving in this place today. Now I want you to think about everything you're currently doing to be a part of the solution in sharing the gospel, not only here in Stillwater, Oklahoma, but around the world. What are you currently doing to be part of the solution? Over the next week, here's your challenge. What more is God calling you to do to share the gospel, not only here in Stillwater, but around the world? Is God calling you to give to the haircut ministry to make sure kids can go to school with fresh cut hair and start the school off right? Or is he calling you to do something else? Whatever he's calling you to do, pray about it. Talk with your pastor about it. Talk with your spouse about it. Children, talk with your parents about it. Because God, I guarantee you, when you say yes to God, when you say, God, I will do whatever you ask me to do, doors are going to open, God is going to move, and you are going to see a great and mighty move of God right where you're at. Today, I want to leave you with this prayer. It comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And it's a prayer that the priests were asked to pray over Israel, over the people of God. And it is this, and it's my prayer for you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Pastor.
So, Brady, come help me, please. Mine's first. We're going to take up an offering for Adam and Bethany for what they're doing. And one thing that, and I had a missionary tell me this several years ago. You notice Adam and Bethany are going to work with Global University. They're going to train people to reach Spain. That doesn't mean they're not going to try to reach Spain while they're there, but their goal is to train the people of Spain to reach the people of Spain, right? So it a lot of times it's easier for someone local, like a native, to actually reach their own people than sending a missionary from the U.S. who's got to go over there, has to learn Spanish, has to learn the culture, has to try to fit in with the culture, and then reach a culture that they are just learning about, rather than someone who has grown up in the culture and knows the language, just has to get to know Jesus. Right? That changes, it really streamlines the whole process, because all they have to do is learn the gospel and get to know who Jesus is, and then they can reach their own people. It makes the whole process go way faster and way easier. And so they're going to train those people the gospel ministry, so many different areas. And so it makes it easier for them to go over, learn the culture, learn the language. It's a way easier process. So, I've already given my part. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask Brady to walk around and take all of your money. No, I'm just kidding. Take whatever the Lord has encouraged you to give out of your own pocket, out of your own extra. Thank you to those of you that are giving this morning. Thank you, Adam and Bethany, for being here. Caleb fall asleep, or is he still awake? He's back there. Okay. His first questions. Do you have children's church? Oh, man. When he comes back, we will have children's church again. Because he'll be back. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for Adam and Bethany, God. Thank you for their heart. Thank you for their desire to see the gospel go forth. Thank you for their willingness to go, Lord. Being willing to go is such a huge step, Lord. And I thank you for their willingness to go. To leave comfort behind. To leave family behind. To leave everything they've known behind. To go and to see your gospel go forth. Thank you for them. Lord, as a church, we return the blessing he's prayed over us. And we pray, God, for 30, 60, 100-fold return upon their ministry and all that they do. That you would help them to train up those to reach the nation of Spain. To turn it around, God, over in that nation. That people could come to know the power and the love of Jesus, a Savior that they don't even know that they need. So, Father, I bless every gift, every giver in this place, that every amount of money given, oh, Lord God, would produce a harvest. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So before we leave, if we'll just take a moment, allow Brady to walk around and collect any offerings that are given for the Weatherly family. Yes, Lord. Jesus. us. I want to, perfect, just set it right there. You're awesome. I feel like I'm gonna butcher this, but I'm gonna try it anyway, because I cannot get that last part of that song out of my spirit. So could we stand? In my mind, I keep hearing, I stand in all of you. I stand in all of you. Oh God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our time together. I thank you for our missionary family that was here with us this morning. God, I pray that we will do everything we can to support them, to pray for them, God, that we lift them up, Lord, that as they go forth, as they continue to raise support, God, that you would open the floodgates of heaven and that you would bring the support that they need to go and do the work that they feel called to go do, Lord, that you would provide manna from heaven, God, quail from heaven, Lord, that you would provide all of their needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And Father, I pray that as we as the church will do our part and pray, as we will do our part, God, that you will send them and you will do awesome things through them and for them, God. Father, I pray that as we as the church leave this house, God, that we would leave with a heart and a mindset seeking you first, but also seeking, oh God, where you're calling us, what you're calling us, how you're calling us, God, to do the work of ministry, whether it's to pray, to give, someday, God, maybe even to go. As we leave this place, bless us, keep us safe. Oh God, bring us back here into this place to enter your gates with thanksgiving, Lord God. Father, I thank you, I praise you, and I love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Church, be blessed. Have an amazing Independence Day. It's driving me crazy. It's 4th of July. No, it's Independence Day. That's why we celebrate it, because we're independent. We're free in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great, great day, church. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound.
fresh tonight.
There are days when I wake up and my faith is cold and tired, and the light feels so dim. It's not like me just to give up, so I'm bringing you my dry bones, breathing me again. I need that wind to stop blowing, I need these eyes to be open, I need my heart to keep hoping, so I'm song. Where you prophesy, still shout of everything you've done. High up on the mountain, I was made to testify. Forever, you will have my song. Oh, forever, you will have my song. Stronger my faith grows, the higher the need, the higher I'll reach, the greater the cost, the more I believe for, the longer the way, the longer I pray, the stronger the pain, the stronger my faith grows, the higher the need. The more I believe, oh, and I will praise you. I will praise you. I won't let the stones cry. I won't let the stones cry out. I will praise you. Something in me has to. I won't let the stones cry. I won't let the stones cry out. You.
This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded.